Monday, September 12, 2016, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting, ribbon cutting ceremony at 2:30, and business meeting at 3:02.
Yes,
Okay, let's reconvene our meeting. We were outside. We had our ribbon cutting ceremony. Would everyone stand and say the pledge with me, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll again, Joan, please, just to make sure everyone's here?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda items. We're going to go into approval of the previous minutes from August 29th of 2016. Approval of the payroll claims, and there was no accounts payable, so I need a motion. I went through the payroll, and everything is in order, so I need a motion for the consent agenda items.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion by Rick and a second by Dick. Will you call roll, please, on the consent agenda items?
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. We have 1 minute here before we can open up our public hearing here, so. Oh, it's 3:05. Here we go. Okay, new business, 3:05. We got a public hearing for the purpose of the hearing, support, opposition, criticism, suggestions on our taxpayers relating to the 2016-2017 proposed county budget. So at this time, I'm going to open up the public hearing, and if anybody would like to stand and give us any support. There's none. Any opposition? If none, the word I don't like is criticism. Okay, none there, so I'm going to close the public hearing, and we're going to move on to B, board to approve an increase in the base restricted funds by additional 1% of $59,992.26 for a total increase in restricted funds in the amount of $209,972.91, purpose of the 2016-2017 county budget. Did I miss something? Yes, I did. Did I?
No.
Read
too much.
I read too much. I went down. I can't see very well anymore. Anyways, the total increase of the restricted funds amount of $209,972.91.
So moved.
Okay, got a motion by Bill.
Second.
Second by Tony. Will you call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to C, which is the board to approve the resolution 16C-021 to adopt the proposed 2016-17 county budget. So we need a motion to approve the 2016-2017 budget.
So moved.
Dick, motion?
Second.
Second by Tony. Call roll, please, Joan.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay. Can I move on to E? Is that okay?
You can talk about the budget.
Okay, listen. We got 3 minutes here until we can go on to our next public hearing. Does anybody want any comments from the budget? I know one thing that we'd like to do is... anybody want to help themselves also to any beverages or any treats back there? Help yourself. But as far as the county budget, you know, we've met with all the department heads and all the elected officials, and obviously our county budget is a little bit in trouble this year, and we're looking at a lot of different solutions. And my recommendation, I think, and I know there's some people that are losing some people right now in some different departments, and I think... somewhere along the line, I think what we need to outline a hiring freeze of some sort, or at least maybe have the department head nor the elected official come to the budget or finance committee and, you know, get their blessing so at least we know where we're at for the time being. I know that, Kim, I think your office is just lost a gal. And I know Jones just lost a gal. So I think it's just something we need to look at. But also, I mean, we need to replace these people. You know, I know this, but I just think it would just be good common courtesy for, I think everybody realizes our situation, and I think it would be vitally important that they come to us and at least talk to us so we are all on the same page. That's all I ask. Anybody want to add to that?
I think you covered it.
Okay, we're silent today. Awesome. Okay, well, we're good. I got 1 minute here. I don't know what else I can say about the budget besides it's a little bit depressing, but for the most part,
well,
it's done. And
Joan? I can add that.
Okay, good. Joan.
our levy went down, and our tax request is less than last year. Okay.
I forgot to add that. That's important.
Yes.
What was our total levy?
Our levy is 328587.
So there is some positivity about it, but it's just that we're going to have to do a lot of crunching in the next year if that's possible, and I think it's going to be possible. And it's definitely it's been challenging. And I think what happened is, I think there's a few things that we got kind of behind the eight ball on. I know that we were going through all of our protests at the time during the county budget was, you know, getting in line, and we were dealing with a month's worth of protests, and we had a lot of, and it just, some things slipped through the cracks on us, but I think we'll be prepared more next year. Okay, so let's go. It's 3:10. Let's go into our next public hearing. I'm going to open up a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support and opposition, criticism, suggestions, authorizations of the taxpayers relating to the setting of the final tax request at the different amount than the prior tax year. So at this time, I'm going to the public hearing. Is there anybody would like to get up and say any support? No one. Is there anybody with opposition? Anyone with criticism? Okay, if not, I'm going to close the public hearing. We're going to move on to E, Board to Approve Resolution 16C-022, the setting of the county property tax request at $5,604,086.69.
I move to approve Resolution 16C-022.
I'll second.
Okay, got a motion by Bill and a second by Rick. Will you call roll, please, Joan, on 16C-022?
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to F. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, requesting the board to approve his annual road report for 2015-2016.
And I gave my annual report to the clerk already for
yep, we all
the
got
chair
copies.
To sign.
Yep.
What this is just what it says, the annual report requested by the state. What it outlines is resources and things like that the county uses, fuel, oil, tires, tubes, hours on equipment. But anyway, once again, it's requested yearly by the state.
Just an annual formality?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Any questions for Fred on his annual report from anyone? If none, I'll need a motion to approve the annual report, unless someone has any questions or concerns for Fred.
I'd make a motion to approve the annual road report as given.
Okay, we got a motion by Bill.
I'll second.
Second by Rick. Call roll, please, Joan.
Scott.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Dick.
Yes.
Bill.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move into miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg. We're going to go to the Highway Superintendent Road Report. And I think we all have copies of the road report.
August 28th to September 10th, 238 hours of total road maintenance. Is this the same one you guys got?
Yep.
Okay.
238 hours, is that?
Correct.
Yep.
Bridge maintenance, 47 and a half. Projects, Wiggle Creek, 53 hours, 210, 26, 30 hours on North Bluff.
Okay, Fred, real quick, I'm going to stop real quick on, okay, on the Wiggle Creek, the Waggle Creek or Wiggle Creek, whatever you guys call it, what would you actually do there?
There was a tube that actually washed out in the Homer area, Emerson area, north of Emerson, had some very heavy rains.
Okay.
On the borders of Dakota County.
Okay, 210th Street.
That is also a culvert.
Okay.
And North Bluff is backfilling along.
The shoulders?
Yes.
How's that going? Because I haven't heard from anyone out there.
It is a little over half done. Hopefully.
Is it going to be up to everyone's expectations, you think?
I'm sure they would rather have paving. But it is going to at least stop the drop off the edge of the pavement.
You're using that material from Newcastle?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that should hold up good, I would think.
Yeah.
We put some LG Everett, just a 3/4 inch granite on the intersection at the end of North Bluff, and we had quite a bit of a blowing out of the holes up on the pavement, and with this binder in the Newcastle stuff, that's what we're trying to prevent. That's why we're using that material.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Fred, for telling us that.
Gravel hauled 1,686 total tons, barricading 6 hours, road concerns, 230th Street grading, Bennett Avenue grading, and a culvert on G Avenue.
Okay, any questions? You got a full crew, all your guys are, everybody's moving, things are good. You're back to your 8 hour days this week?
Correct.
So you're back to your 5 hour, your 5 day, 8 hour days?
Correct.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
You meant what I do. Okay. Any questions for Fred on his road report?
On the mag here, or magnet, I called Fred and talked to him. I said, would it hurt, because I got some calls for nails, and I said, would it hurt if Leon told him, you know, in his spare time, just hook up to it? And he said, yeah. So.
Did that happen?
Will he have to give you his hours on that magnet, or what do we do on that?
I don't know what he does with his hours. He did not give us any hours. Okay. He wasn't in the office today. At least I didn't see him.
Okay, I'll check on that. Because I know he pulled it.
That should probably read hours instead of tons on the magnet. I don't think
Correct.
He's picking up that many nails.
Yeah.
He still hasn't been checked.
Yeah.
But okay. He is doing it, Dick?
Yeah. Good. I called him, and I called Fred first. Fred said, go ahead. So he's doing it.
Good.
So it's one less.
I saw him today. He's to Homer, I think, from the highway. I think he was going down that way.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Fred.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it, Fred. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to B, miscellaneous, Arnie Malik. Possible retirement. Possible. We've been hearing this for several years.
I haven't.
Is it a done deal?
No. I've just come before the board. See if the board would feel obligated to or obliged to offer me some money to retire the way they have some previous employees that have retired and were paid a certain amount of money to retire and stuff. I would just come before the board, see if you'd be obliged to do that for me.
Well, I think, and anybody can step in any point in time they want to, but I think when I was around back in, I think it was 11, or maybe 12 when we did with Bob Jacobson. I think we offered that at that time to anybody over, was it 65-ish or whatever. And obviously we were in a crunch at that time as well. And if everybody recalls, you know, we did give him a buyout to retire, if you want to call it a buyout or whatever. And then at that point in time, we sold his machine just to help cash flow things for the county is what we did. And we did sell his machine, and his machine was not sold.
Yeah, we went down to six machines.
Yeah, we went down to six machines. And then once we were going to trade
last
one.
Last time we kept Brent. And
yeah.
One.
So,
but we actually were down to six machines.
The one, the H?
Bob Jacobson's machine actually got sold outright.
Okay. Yeah, we sold. I do remember we sold the machine outright, and then we added the 7th one back. I think when was it Brent's?
Yeah. Okay.
When we were gonna instead of trading that one off, we just kept that for a backup or for a fulfillment down the road is what we did.
We were one short for about a year, where we
made. Yeah, maybe 18 months. Year 18 months, I think it was. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the reasons why we did that. And at that time, you know, obviously, I don't know. We were just looking at how could we save money. And at that point in time, we just thought that, you know, I think Bill and I, or maybe it was Rick and I think Bill and I went out and talked to Bob.
Yep.
And just asked him, and he thought about it. And I think at that point in time, he was up for, you know, I hate to see you retire, to be honest with you. I think we all hate to see you retire.
You've got to pay you to stay here.
Yeah.
Bring your money.
Well. You know, I know Marlon, I think, one of them.
Marlon did. Back when Marlon did, I think there was three offered it at that time.
I can't remember if Walter did or not.
Walter didn't, because Walter didn't quit till he had his accident.
That's right.
And then he was forced to, the insurance company forced him to.
That's right. So Marlon and Bob were the only two. And
I was thinking there was three when Marlon and Bob were. I was trying to think.
I think Marlon and Bob are the only two that I.
I just know of Bob. I didn't. I mean, that was before Marlon was before my time, and I know. And I know the reason why we did that was just because of we were looking to get rid of a machine and add more miles to the guys and just try to save money is what we were trying to do. So, I don't know if anybody else wants to shed a little light on with Arnie here, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember the exact details of Marlon. I think probably, you know, it seems like we've always been in a budget crunch every year. And I'm sure that's what prompted that. I mean, to be honest, I can't.
What year was that? Does anybody recall?
It was a couple of years before Bob.
Yeah.
Was it?
At least maybe 3 or 4.
Might have
four.
Been.
Bob retired. Bob's been gone for a while.
Bob retired in 2012.
12? Okay.
I don't know. I guess.
I'd like to visit about it in the budget committee.
Yeah.
And, Arnie's got a lot of years of service in here in the county.
How many years
and
has
I
been
think it's
started just starting my 44th.
And I think it's something that needs to be rewarded.
Yeah.
And if we can do something for Arnie, I'd like to see it done. But I'd like to visit with the budget committee.
So it is a done deal. When is your last day, can I ask?
The 30th.
The 30th of December?
This month.
Oh, this month. I mean, there's 30th of every month. I don't know. Except February, obviously. Okay, so the 30th of this month, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And then are you going to write out the plan and zoning until the end of the year?
I will if the board don't have a problem doing that, me doing that.
Okay.
No, I think it'd be better.
No.
Good.
So is there a possible chance that you'd be there to help us if we get in a crunch and stuff like that?
Probably.
Get in a crunch in which way?
Oh, like if we need grader, you know, someone to come out and do some work, or, you know, we've got guys that get sick or something like that, and Arnie can come in and help out, because we've got, you know, there's guys out there that I know have got some health issues.
Well, and who was it, who was the guy that always came back and worked part-time, or did work part-time?
Ron Harder. Yeah, he did that quite a while.
Yeah, and did you just look like summer months is all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, well, I think the county, listen, I've only been around for, you know, 6 years, roughly, give or take, but it's, I know that a lot of people praise you, and you do an awesome job, and I know you've been around the county for a lot of years, and thank you for your service. And like I said, Rick, and we'll talk about it, and we'd like to bring up how we try to do something for you if we possibly can.
Okay.
So.
Then I would like to invite all of you from my wife's throwing a retirement party for me at Fleshsaw Waterbury.
The bus, all right.
This Saturday.
Yes.
That was my next question.
Oh, wait, Arnie, I got two of them here.
Yeah, two. What's that, Bill?
I got Bill.
Well, just in case if you lose one. It's possible.
Thank you, Arnie.
Thank you, Arnie.
So you didn't hand these out until you knew we would fight. You
some cash. Good day. Never know, right, Arnie? Thank you, Arnie.
Thank you, Arnie.
Yeah, that's a lot of years. Yeah, and appreciate you. Like I said, I think a lot of people appreciate what you've done, and I know you've done an awesome job. And we do hate to see you retire, but we wish you the best on your retirement.
I appreciate that.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Arnie.
Thank you, Arnie. Arnie, did you take George Saunders' place when he retired?
No.
Was there somebody in between?
No, there was Kurt Greenfield and
Bruce Ovey.
Bruce Ovey was first, and Kurt Greenfield, and then Lawrence Jefferson from by Emerson.
Bob Zeisler was there.
And he was a county worker at one time.
Pardon?
Bob was?
Yeah, he didn't last. Didn't last very long. Unfortunately, when they hired him, they forgot to check and see if he had a driver's license. He came driving in with a county vehicle on the highway was trouble.
That is awesome.
You're right. What other person?
Oh, my. Unfortunately, they should have checked into it and stuff before they hired him. So, yeah.
That is funny. Andy Crumby was for a while, too.
Yeah, Andy was,
Yeah, after him.
After I got demoted down.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
That sounds good. Thank you so much.
That, Ernie.
The Buzzsaw. Haven't been there for... It'd be awesome.
See you there.
All right.
Thank you, Ernie.
See you.
I think it was 150 degrees in there. It was like 20 below off. That wood burner going on.
Tell me.
Oh, yeah.
The old one.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. We're going to move on to see Sheriff Kleinberg with his jail report.
Jail report.
Good news here, Sheriff?
Well, actually, a little better than it was last month.
Good.
We're sitting at about 110 today. Actually, I think it's about 118 as of me coming down here. Staying high on that, but we actually got our feds back in there. So in August, about nine total in-house. Yeah, so we got some feds back last month. There ain't a lot of them, you guys. I'm having a hard time getting more of them in here.
Really?
We're just not getting the numbers we used to. I don't know why. I'm thinking that might change after the first of the year. Depends.
I'm sure it will.
I don't have numbers on the percentages because we just now got our budgets all finalized, so I didn't have any of that information yet. But we're getting that cost down. August, we got back down to $48.73 for an inmate, and that's kind of what I judge everything off of is that particular. Is that number right there tells everything that the jail costs goes into that number. So.
Yeah.
These higher ones, like in June, that was that guy we had to spend the 30-some grand on for the hospital bill. So, yeah. We're doing better. We got some feds. We got quite a few out-of-county guys. We got four or five out-of-county guys we're getting in there, too. We're county.
You get the same per diem there of the $65? Good.
Same as the feds.
Yeah.
But now with Thurston County building that little jail, I know that Bob, well, Burke County, is going to be taking. It's just a lot closer for him to go to Thurston County. And then,
see, it almost seems like to me, now correct me if I'm wrong, it almost seems like, you know, it's big news. You're building a jail. You spend millions of dollars building a jail. And all of a sudden, and I know that, you know, that revenue was huge, you know, seven figures. And it almost seems like, over the last several years, as that jail's been paid for, then all of a sudden you just start losing, you know, your federal inmates. And maybe it's just my out-of-the-box thinking. I don't know.
It was a timing thing, I think.
ICE and all the above? I don't know.
It was an administration deal. And
yeah. Scott, it's...
Like Scott, or like Chris says, you know, you get after the first year and you get new president in there, you might see a whole bunch of...
There just isn't federal inmates in the last 8 years. No, it's... dropped down considerably. People aren't being arrested for things they were being arrested for. So it ties everything up. The marshals are slower. Everybody's slower. There's more crime because people aren't being arrested.
Okay. No, hey, listen. The costs are good. 13%. The budget. We're happy. Everything's going well.
We did... I did lose a nurse last week, so we're running with just one LPN right now. So I did talk to Tiffany, though. Tiffany's going to help me with Mars filing and make sure everything's all squared away.
So you're not going to replace her?
You know, my intentions were to replace her with an RN, with an actual nurse, not an LPN. I need someone that can draw blood.
So then what would you do with the LPN that's on board now?
So what I did with her after I spoke with her is I felt kind of bad because she's been in there working and she knows what she's doing. And I had a hard time just not even offering her the position. She can go get her RN license within 6 months. She can also go to a class here and she can draw blood. It's just a class. I'm even offering
to pay for it. Is that her intentions?
As of Friday, yes. That's her intention. But there's a lot of work to do before that because we've got some other issues that I got to take care of before I worry about that stuff. So, like I said, Tiffany is going to help us out with some of them records and things like that. She's not going to be over there working, but she's going to help me guide.
And you've been in all of our meetings as we've talked as elected officials about monies, and you know the situation we're in, and we trust you that you'll make the right decision with that.
Chairman, if I can absolutely not hire another nurse, I absolutely wouldn't because of the money. But I don't want to trip over a dollar to pick up a dime
and cause
lawsuits that I don't need. That's my fear.
There's a fine line in everything.
Yes, there is. And I think we're going to get it underhand here, you guys, so...
All right, well, it looks good. Any questions? Any other questions on the jail report for Chris?
Well, I know previous months we've had jail overcrowding in there, and I was wondering, as things getting through the court systems, I know the public defender, I've seen some emails going back and forth about things where people weren't getting their cases addressed, and that's why we were having some backlog.
Maybe Kim can shed a little bit more light on that. I know that Lou's been having a hard time finding a backup, and I've seen the same emails of what you're saying, that John Doe should have been out a week ago and he's still in jail because of the fact that it's all the time framing of getting to the public defender's office and him being backed up. Is that what you're...
Well, that, and I don't know maybe if I didn't read it right, but there was offers out there that were proposed and the public defender wasn't getting to them to go to the judge and get them accepted or whatever, and or getting back to the inmates themselves. That's the way I took it. So,
is that the way it's read?
I think I know which emails you're talking about. We send out offers, and we usually put a deadline, you know, if it's a short time we are asking for it. But we don't know his communication with his clients. So, I mean, that's not anything I could speak to. We just usually say, hey, you know, looking at 7 days, time would be up on this day, and if we don't hear back, we don't really know because we're not allowed to speak to the defendant. We just wait. And Lou said he's had an issue with like being able to make appointments and having a meeting area. So I don't know I don't know. That'd be a better question for Lou.
So the meeting that we had a couple days ago, talking about the house arrest hold.
Yep.
When you said that, I wasn't aware of that, Kim. So I immediately called Lou.
And I don't know either.
And Lou said that, see, the way the jail's set up, there's one area these guys meet, okay, and that's called the conference room. Since then, I have told my staff, and I called Lou back, and I said, there will be no time when you need to speak with a client that you ain't immediately have access to that client. Now, if that means that I have to personally bring them to your office, I will do that. If I have to give you my office to use, I'm happy to do that. So for Lou, for our public defender, not every attorney, because it would be a mess in there if I did that. For Lou, I will absolutely bring them to him if he needs them, and I did talk to him about that. So I told him if there's any issue with ever scheduling time to come in and talk.
Sorry, John. No, I understand, and I appreciate that, but I know that. And I think what Chris is talking about is Kim and I and Joan and Sheriff, we met the other day and we were talking a little bit about the work release, or not work release, but house arrest situation.
Good.
And I think that between Kim and Sheriff, I think they kind of have a plan that over the next few months that maybe something can maybe progress into that and get them out, you know, of the dollar amount of the county's expense.
Well, the county actually makes money on house arrest.
You know, it's kind of like work release. We actually make more money off work release.
Just because of the cost of...
The bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The bracelet's $8 a day.
But what I look at is, yes, it's still so much a day, but you know, the chance of them getting sick and, you know, just...
Well, if they're out of here, so you're much, not feeding them either.
Right, right. I mean, it's, there's just a lot of expense there.
There,
you know?
There is some to that, but you guys got to realize we're talking, like I said in that meeting, there's a few people that would be eligible for house arrest. Not very many people are going to be eligible for that if they're still in jail. And then they have to come up with the money to pay for that.
Right.
Very few people got the money to pay for it. So even if the judge did allow certain cases to go to house arrest, we're not talking very many people. And that's what we discussed in that meeting. The cost savings is going to be our medical costs. We're spending over $250,000 a year on medical. So that's what I got to get.
But it would add up though in a year's time, or two years time, or 5 years time. I mean, it would add up. And even if it wasn't a big revenue builder for us, just to get them out of
The jail,
right?
They have more beds. Yeah,
that's a huge savings.
Open up
the
federal prisoners, whatever.
Yep.
You got to, you know, it's a domino effect when that breadwinner's in here. His family's on welfare. I mean, it's just a trickles right on.
And I will guarantee you that the prosecutors and the court's office look at that.
I'm sure.
That's a determining factor, yeah. Especially first offense people. I've got them all the time that they're allowed to do work release and keep working and stuff. As a matter of fact, these bracelets are going on those guys. So.
And I do believe after our meeting, you know, I have a whole different outlook on, you know, judges' decisions. Because, you know, I mean, seriously, I mean, it's real easy to sit there and say, Jesus, you know, why would you... There's a reason why they're doing what they're doing.
There is.
And you don't want to second-guess those guys. They're in that position for that reason.
You can't bend it. If you bend it, then you're going to have the streets that everybody's going
to. Right, exactly. Exactly.
And we're right on the brink. You know, like I said, judge does really good. Our courts do excellent with bonds and PR bonds and things like that to keep people out of jail. But there are some people that need to be in jail. And with the influx that we've had with the CF and all the stuff that's going crazy around here, you don't want these people out running around. I don't care if they're on house arrest or what. You do not want them out running around in our streets.
And I know what PR bonds means, but what's it stand for again?
Personal recognizance.
Yep. They sign off on their own.
Yep.
See you later. And there was 100 when we met a couple weeks ago. 143?
Well, she had
160.
That particular day, the one gal that does all the bonds, she was like 141 out on bond that particular day. So she stays very busy.
I couldn't believe
that. That's my
either.
Point. If that wasn't the courts
and
our attorneys, prosecutor and defense attorney working, those people ought to be in jail. That would fill our jail up, and we'd be housing. Yeah. We'd fill up Thurston County Jail. We'd fill up all the jails in the five-county area.
Good to know.
It is good to know.
So looking at it from that point of view, it just, you kind of realize.
That's what I said. I have a whole different outlook on things.
And just like this report, you guys, we're dealing, not even half of our inmates are usually from Dakota County. They're from other states and Sioux City.
You know, one thing I noticed, too, in this report, we used to have always three or four or five juveniles, and they're very expensive to house.
Mm-hmm.
And that number is way down, and has been for quite a while.
Probation has that. Now they're
okay.
I transported two this morning.
Good. Well, that's huge. That's a lot of dollars.
Yeah, it is.
And I would think that maybe Sarah's position probably is that
it
having
helps with it.
That has to help with that. The juvenile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since probation has taken over the juveniles, they're very adamant about no juvenile being incarcerated.
That's good.
It has to be a pretty big deal for them to go to jail.
Right.
Which is, we just need parents to take care of them. We're good.
There you go.
So am I done before I put my foot in my mouth?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. Good. Why do you look at me? I'm a great parent. I got Father of the Year 21 years running so far. So okay if you guys are running.
I went on the mini bike right by my house.
He don't do that no more. He's moved on to bigger and better things. Unfortunately, more expensive things. Okay, let's go to D here. Thank you, Sheriff. The board to accept notarized inventory statement of all county personal property from each office for the fiscal year of 15-16 and certify the filings of the inventories in the county clerk's office. So we just need to accept, I think everybody, Jones said everything's in place there, right, too, right, Johnny?
Yes.
So move to approve the notarized inventory statement.
I'll second that.
Okay, we got a motion by Tony and a second by Rick. Can we call roll, please, John?
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to E. Board to review the county burial policy and approve or disapprove revision to the regularities of one regarding use of funeral homes in Dakota County. I know this is a kind of a...
Well, then we got more, Don Warren.
Yep.
is here. I don't know if Don wants to come up and say something about it.
Come on up. Would you come up to the podium?
Give us some of your thoughts.
State your name and address for the record, please.
Really can't speak for Marvin Hunt because he's been down here forever. My name's Don Moore with Moore Funeral Home here in South Sioux.
Yep.
Been in Ponca since 1886. Been down here in South Sioux for about 10 years now.
Now, wait a minute, Don. You said 1886.
That's when my grandfather started.
Yep. Wow.
We're the oldest funeral home in the state of Nebraska.
So what's it feel like to be the second generation in that?
This would be four.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Just teasing you. Usually it's Dick on him. Passionate about the Prohibition and the Civil War, but I just teasing
you. Way before my time. 30 years has been I've been doing this.
Awesome.
So the key is on this, we were kind of reviewing your stuff here, and I guess, of course, every county does things differently. And I guess I'm more familiar with Dixon County because that's where we're from. A little bit different down here and stuff like that. It sounds like everybody's always in a crunch.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I guess my comment on this more than anything, like say Marv should be here really because he's been down here forever and I really can't speak for him and stuff. And I'm sure you got a lot of input from him on how you're doing your figures and stuff here and stuff. But my thing is basically, I guess people... I have a funeral home. Well, they're driving these Cadillacs. They got these big houses. They're making tons of money. I guess my problem with all this is we're not even breaking even on this stuff. And I guess I don't have a problem helping people. We help people out all the time. When they come in there, they don't have any money and stuff like that. Funeral homes do have a heart and stuff like that. We do have a heart. We do try to help a lot of people out when they don't have any money, and we're seeing more and more of this. But the key is on this thing. With what you're having, and I'm not picking on this county because every county is basically the same. They're just not even, we're not even breaking even on the costs that we're getting for the county stuff. And so I had a family a while back. They said, well, we want to use the county. The rumor had it that Marv had a contract with Dakota County. Basically, the family had to use Dakota County because of the county funding. We found out later that's not true. But the thing is, basically, I guess our problem is when we say, okay, you have to go to Becker Hunt, stuff like that, because they have the contract, and somebody says, no, there is really a contract with Becker Hunt. So I guess what we're seeing here, basically, with your amount and stuff like that, and like I said, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just listening to you. We got invited here from Mrs. Spencer and stuff, and since we are, there is another funeral home here in South Sioux and stuff. I know when we meet with Dixon County or something, usually the funeral homes are all there putting their input in. So I don't really like to talk for Mar because he might have a totally different idea than what I think. And stuff, but I guess my problem is basically is just it'd be nice to at least break even on this stuff, you know, not making our profit and stuff like that. I mean, you're showing the casket and the vault on there. Basically, it's basically I think our cost is basically $1,000, and you're just basically paying us $1,000 and stuff like that. Our overhead is $1,800. That doesn't include embalming, visitation, all this stuff. I know you guys ain't going to boost it up and stuff like that, but I guess we always tell families if they want to go see the county, go see the county, and chances are, like I say, if they don't have any money, they don't have any money and stuff like that, but it would be nice just to break even. I guess that's my input on this thing, the stuff, and I know you're not going to boost it up or anything like that, but like I say, we're definitely going down the wrong way on this on the funeral home side. I mean, people look at the funeral home, you know, we are a business. We're trying to make money too. That's why we're trying to keep our doors open, stuff like that. You know, everybody says, well, you're making too much money. Well, farmers are making too much money. So, you know, it's on how you look at
that. Oh, boy. Yeah. No, I like that. He points to Rick Moskay. You need to come over.
He's my neighbor. So right there, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, farmers.
I'm cheating, of course. You know, so I'm just trying to make
money. And I'm going to tell you something. He's a better neighbor than the dollar store was.
Oh, I'm sure. There's not a doubt in my mind.
But anyway, I mean, I don't really want to toot a horn or anything here. I'm just trying
I guess, nuts and bolts are, do you want a piece of the pie?
Not necessarily, not at that, because I'm going backwards on this. I am going backwards big time on this. If this is what you're paying and stuff. And I mean, people walk in the door, and we always say if Marv's the contractor of the Dakota County, we'll say, you know, use him. Because, like, say, this is why would any business want to go backwards and stuff like that?
You can only do,
Like you said, compare to other counties.
Well, see, my wife was the clerk here in what's Dixon County place?
1800.
and stuff like that. On a cremation, you can probably get pretty close, but like, say, when you're saying furnishing a casket, a vault, and all this stuff here, I mean
what are we paying, $1,050 right now? So was that what I'm reading?
I thought we were at $1,700 altogether.
Oh, let's see.
Does not include.
Oh, it doesn't include.
Yeah. That. So how many do we average a year, Joe?
That's what I was going to ask. What's your number on that? You do 10 a year? You do 50?
Half a dozen, maybe, you think?
Well, it's less than 10, I'm sure.
It's not a lot.
I can tell you what we paid last year. It's got its own budget.
Like I said, I don't have any problem sending them all down to Marv and stuff like that.
I guess we want to be fair with everybody. We don't want to.
Marv had a funeral this afternoon, so he didn't come. But his comment was he thought it should be left up to the family. He didn't want to set up a rotation or anything like that. He thought it should be up to the family. That was
of who they used for. But what is a break-even cost?
Yeah. Well, like say, and you were showing there the casket and the vault, a cloth-covered casket and the vault, I think you're like $300 for a vault. Well, I can't even buy it for that, stuff. So, I mean, the casket, they're $300-$400 and stuff, too. I mean, you're talking, vault-wise, you're talking probably $500-$600, and you just got $1,000 just in material without anything else. Like say, my overhead and stuff, what I charge is $1,800 just for my overhead. So, Sheriff was talking about his stuff per item and stuff like that. I mean, funerals are basically judging on the same thing with their overheads. Lights, electricity, gas.
Oh, yeah.
And the key is, we're not trying to make a profit here for people that need the help, because we'd like to break even.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Gomez, he knows what overhead is. We're all in business.
Averaging 2 to 3 a year.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Well, you're fortunate. You're very fortunate.
Yep, 2 to 3 a year.
So that's it.
So I guess it wouldn't hurt to at least get it up to where the funeral homes aren't losing money.
And all I was saying is just trying to break even.
That's what he's trying to tell us. You know, he's trying to break even.
Can we insist on cremation or not? Probably not, can we?
Good luck with that. Because basically a lot of families don't want cremation.
Yeah,
they say, well, this is all we're going to do if you can force them into that.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But I doubt it. I mean, he's talking lawsuits. You might have a lawsuit with them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
stuff,
right.
You're going to have, if there is cremation or something like that, everybody has to sign off on it. Say one of the two of the family members say no.
I know.
Cremate, then you're in trouble.
I guess we do have disapprove the revision. Or you want to revise it then?
Well, it was just the very first one. Everybody kind of thought it was just Marv Hunt or Becker Hunt Funeral Home, but when Kim read it, she said, we don't have to revise anything.
It's not specific.
It's not specific. And
okay.
Well, like I say, I'm not speaking for Marv and stuff. He should be here too and speak his piece, because basically I'm just saying my two cents.
But every January we approve this. So if you wanted to revise it in January, it's been approved for the... this year.
And now that there's two funeral homes in the county...
We just need to do is inform DHS. They administer it for us.
Right.
That if the family requests.
But could we be in a rotation, get this thing to where the dollars and cents work out, and get it in a rotation?
Or do you just got to go, does DHS just need to say, okay, you have this funeral home and you have this funeral home?
Well, and then that's a good question.
Let them pick? I mean.
That's what Marv was saying.
Yeah. Is that kind of what Marv was saying?
With the family thing.
Yeah,
let DHS say, well, we've got more.
Yep,
and we got Becker Hunt. Here's what it is, but still we get back to the dollars and cents of it and break even.
And Mark shouldn't make any more or less and vice versa. I mean, we're kind of in the same boat here.
Pay each of you the same.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, so I'm not trying to do more or less than whatever he's doing and stuff. I mean, he's been out here forever and stuff, but been up in pocket forever. So the key is basically, all I'm saying is it'd be nice to at least try to get close to breaking. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Yep. So, and we will definitely look at that.
And like I say, if you only had two this year or last year or whatever, you said you're real fortunate. Stuff. So it's like it's a money maker or breaker for you guys down here. Mm-hmm. So you're lucky.
So we'll look it over, I guess, review it in January.
And like I say, if Marv has some input on that too, that's fine. So,
okay.
So what you're really saying, though, if there is a question or something, it's basically up to the family to decide. Is that's the way I understand?
Well, I think that's the way we'd have to maybe lay it out there. I mean,
yeah, give the information to DHS.
For the time being, we'll give the information, like Rick just said, to DHS, and then they can let them take the pick.
So really, he has really no contract with the county or anything like that?
No.
Okay, so it's basically up to the family who they really want to choose then.
We set the compensation fee of how much the county will pay, and that's it.
So you're going to pay so much, so I'm sure they have to do forms and the whole ballpark to make sure they qualify for that.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
I would assume.
They administer it for us.
Sure. Okay.
That's the,
Okay. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you coming. Thanks.
Thank you. And just so you know, the senior citizen center's on one side. My driveway's here, and more funeral homes there. And that's going to be my deal someday.
So you're going to hang out senior citizen center, and then you're going
to. Probably got a good retirement plan.
Yeah.
You know, pretty noisy in the area.
I never thought about that. You got a great plan going on.
I do. I just got to cut a hole in so I can get to there.
I think I
you pretty well. Yeah,
I would do.
Pretty well set up, Rick.
Oh, that is
they,
funny.
They got rid of the, they had the crematorium there, and when they first got it in there, it takes a lot of gas to run one of those things. And when they first put it in, we sit there. Don goes, "Is there a train or something?" Said, no, that's that.
Oh boy,
it would.
Would it really?
Oh yeah.
Big noise.
We got used to it.
Okay. We got used to it.
It's gone now. They moved it over.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right. Looks like we're going to move on to the commissioner committee reports. I don't think that I probably have something I can't recall. I know that we got an LEC meeting tomorrow night. We didn't meet with the Dakota County, the safety agency, this last month. There was no reason for us to meet. I think... And Sheriff, maybe you know anything about this. I know that Amber, you know, she parted ways at the end of the month. And I think that when I talked to Chief Mahon, he said that there was, don't quote me, but I think it was 20 applicants, and 11 of them maybe came, turned them in, but there was only like four of them that was maybe filled out properly. And then they opened up the interviews to everybody, and then only two showed up. And then once the two showed up, the one didn't have any references, so then they called and said, hey, can you turn your references in? No, she didn't, never responded, or he didn't respond, or whoever, so they ended up with the one person. The one, yeah, and I think this person is from Bancroft, Rosalie area. So I think that's where we're at. And so, of course, John Saunders and I talked about it, and they were going to offer this person the job. And I know Amber was a part of the hiring process, and she just basically said that not overqualified, qualified, but has a lot of learning and education to do. So that's where we're at with our Victims Assistance Program. That's all I know.
I had a note here to talk about the road department going back to 5 8-hour days. You've already covered that.
Yep.
Started this week.
Yep.
And safety committee, we had a meeting today. I sat down within 2 minutes to adjourn, so I got there a little late. Nick was there, me, Joan was there. I don't know what we talked about.
I got talked about open concealed. Well, I sat in the back of the room.
Oh, you
a
heard
bit.
It all.
Oh, well, and I didn't hear it all, but I know
I got
that
there 5 minutes ahead of you.
Deb Benton wanted to talk about
carry conceal
the carry,
in the courthouse, and she would like, she will be on the next commissioner's agenda.
Right.
She would like to pursue it legislatively.
Really?
Yeah. She thinks that we should protect ourselves with the.
And the thing is, and she brought this up, and I don't know, and you guys tell me what you think. She thinks either she needs to talk to us to get our blessing, and then move on and talk to other counties, and then maybe possibly ticket, or does she just need to research on her own before she comes and talks to us? I mean,
she had some research and some numbers, and I told her that, you know, they've got this legislative conference. I don't know if any of you want me to, if any of you guys can attend that, but Larry Dix would be the one that she needs. I was going to give her Larry Dix's contact information so that she could see if it's ever been before the legislature.
Yeah, I don't know if we can make that.
So is she after letting people carry guns in the courthouse?
I think that's...
Carry concealed people if they're allowed to come
in.
They have to take a class. They have to jump through a lot of hoops.
Right.
Just to carry conceal, and
but the courthouse in a place with public meeting is excluded.
Yeah, they pound that in their head.
Concealed in there.
See, there's no signs on their doors. That's the first thing I ask, but I've
but
never.
You don't need.
Right. Yeah. Yep, because they pound that in your head, right? At the class, that you cannot carry it into federal government body property, right?
No
courthouses.
No public meetings.
But how would you know? If somebody was carrying a gun without a metal detector or whatever, you're not going to know.
And that's what even, you know, Jungie even said. He's like, I think it'd probably scare you how many people, you know, that walk in here.
You think?
That well, probably happens. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
How many? Oh, yeah. I had a guy come and apply for a job, and I seen he had a bulge. What? And I asked him. I said, you got a gun on you?
What kind of bulge?
I got a concealed, concealed carry.
That was awesome.
You know, I don't like that.
Well,
it strokes the shit out of me.
Well, it does, but you know what?
All right, you just failed.
You hired me.
Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, you hired me or don't.
Another thing they talked about was name tags.
Right.
And then I didn't, when they brought it up, I said, well, I wanted to know the issue of why they wanted or they didn't want it. Well, they said, like, Rick, if he's working on something and it might catch, or like the road department, and I can see where the road department, if they had a tag hanging on them and they putting on them blades or something, you know,
sew it on their shirt.
Yeah,
I mean, shirts with their names on them.
Yeah,
sewn right in.
So I don't know, but that was brought up.
Look at that, Bill's got his name on
there. I know Bill's got his right on it there, but I just didn't know for sure. But we did not have the.
Where did you go with that? Where did that end up at? Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
No,
I've heard this conversation before.
No, that's where it stopped, right there.
You know, and even way back when Deanna came in and took everybody's picture and this and that, I've never seen anything about that.
We didn't want to do the picture thing with Deanna.
You didn't get your card?
Well, back in the day, I did.
We're going to put it on. We're going to put it on the agenda. We're going to come to the board with it.
Yeah.
See if you want to just leave it up to department heads. It was also... when they did the intruder training, that is also when it was brought up, so that it could clarify who's the intruder, who's the employee, public knows who to ask, or who to trust. And so if you had that...
I think it's a smart idea. I really do. I know it's a little bit of an expense, but you know what?
Well,
what do they call them? I call them lanterns. They're called something.
Lanyards.
But anyways, even if you just had that around your neck with your badge or whatever.
And sheriff has all of the equipment, so it wouldn't cost anything. Wouldn't cost much at all.
Wouldn't it?
And I know you're not going to want jailers with lanyards on.
Probably not, no.
No.
That'd be just a way for a prisoner to get a hold of the children.
And I'm not sure that that's where he was going with it. And we were talking just first name and department on it, so that you're not giving away personal information. And
yeah. We couldn't do the river cleanup. We had to cancel it because they wanted...
Are you keeping Northeast Nebraska beautiful?
Not this year.
Not this year, you're not.
No,
no way you can do anything. The state don't want you even on the roads. And they don't want you on the river. That's a $4,000 for 4 hours.
Oh,
insurance.
Sure.
You can ride the river, but you don't dare get out of the boat. If you do. So we just canceled that.
You couldn't find enough volunteers just to go out along the river? I mean, I'm just, you can't even do that? Like, say, for instance, I took my own boat down there. And
you can't get out.
You can't get out
of your boat.
Really?
No.
That's...
That's what.
So if I go fishing, I can't get out of my boat to go fishing?
I don't know about that, but I know they just brought this up to us.
Well, I tell you what, they get out of their boats all the time down on our place.
I know, but this is...
Yeah.
And so we just canceled it.
Stupid shit. Like, I went down there checking cattle, and there was a boat radio and tire. And
we don't even know if we get to do 77 yet. We'll have to see on that, yeah. Okay.
I know we had our ribbon cutting ceremony here for our Charge electric car, which that went well. They were nice people. What was his name again? Bob and
Mark.
Mark
and Ann.
Mark and Ann. Yeah, they were up from. They did a nice job. And again, thanks, John. Thank you, John, for doing all the hard work that you did to get the car. I know it was a lot of work, and I'm glad it's working out. I know that they have the sheet inside of her office, and they put their time in and out, so I'm glad to see it saving money. Yeah.
Good cookies.
Thank you.
I ate two of them.
Yeah.
I baked all Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on here. I've lost my spot here somewhere. Mail emergency business. The mail, the only thing I see here is, what do you show here, Joan? I know Joan has that.
What was that?
This is preparing for disaster in northeast Nebraska,
Deanna.
Dakota County.
Sent everybody that.
Looks like it's September
22nd. If anybody wants to enroll, I have to put it in and go through the computer and do your NACO ID and everything. So if you guys want to go to that legislative conference in York.
Yeah, but then York.
13.
Rick, did you want to go there and talk about tips or anything like that?
I'd like to get some legislation going and see what we can do to kind of be in the game with the city or towns when they do a tip and say, you know, you need to talk to us and we need to be in on that part of the approval process instead of them just handing it to us.
Yeah. And in today's or Friday's legislative update from NACO, I copied that out and put it on your desk. Attorney General's opinion on tips also.
The Attorney General's opinion, it's all over the place. From one kind, Joan read it to me as we've been here talking earlier, and it's just like one paragraph to the next paragraph, it seems like you don't know where to take it. It almost sounds like they're against it, but then all of a sudden then it goes like...
Well, he interpreted it different than what the Supreme Court applied it. And
yeah, it's rather confusing in my eyes, but... Anyways, if Rick, that's something you want to do, maybe I would be happy to go with you. If you look at the date, if you do want to go down and
I think we need to do something. I think I don't know who's going to be our next senator, but I think we need to talk to if it's Joni or Ardell and get a plan ahead. I know there's other counties out there that are struggling with the same thing that we're having to do with on the TIFs, and there's a lot of talk about it. And whether farm ground is can be blighted because it's not, you know, the TIF is not being used for what it was for. The TIF was supposed to be used for substandard houses, buildings falling down, stuff like that, so they could go in and do that. But now
infrastructure,
it's being abused.
You know, and I agree with you. We should have some input. I don't mind a 3 or 5 year TIF. But this 15 years is really affects the county. By the time we collect taxes on it, this piece of property is already devalued itself by 30-40%.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get the premium to drop that way.
You know, I'll never forget when I went to the county. I think it was Rick and I went to the city when they had that TIF. When they were first announced it out by my place, where they were going to want the Richardson Milling big $20 million expansion. Of course. You know, here they're sitting there saying blighted area, and I felt that, you know, our business, we cleaned it up, and we've been praised for cleaning it up over the last 20 years, and it's not the Taj Mahal in all means, but I'm sitting there thinking, well, geez, I don't have city sewer, and I don't have natural gas. So I'm thinking, I get up in front of the city council, and first thing they said, well, is this personal, or is this business? Well, this is business. This ain't county, you know. This, you know, if you're blighting my area, that meant to me that they were going to help me.
Or with infrastructure.
With infrastructure.
Sure.
Okay, and
sure.
We'll get back to you, blah, blah, blah. Well, nobody ever got back to me. Then all of a sudden, when I got back to them, well, that's just for new construction. New construction, yeah. So the blighted, for they blighted me, made me look ghetto, sound ghetto, and then, well, no, seriously, they didn't help me out in any form or shape or way. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Right, they're using your tax dollars to do other things. Now, where Great West sets, that was TIFFed 10 years ago, that TIFF ran out. They re-TIFFed it again, like, 3 months ago, and they're doing it again. I didn't get anything out of it, other than them tearing my driveway up every 2 weeks, you know, and then I'd have to repair it.
And I understand the whole point of it, but I think what they should do, instead of these 10 or 13 or 15-year caps, you know, get the 3 years of the infrastructure out of the way or whatever the case is, and then, you know, get the business there, get it established, or whatever they got going on, and let the tax dollars do what they're supposed to be doing, instead of them hanging on to them for so long. I'm telling you, where we really made a bad, and it got overlooked, and I think we had them at the $850,000, I really think we could have got a proportion of that TIF if we would have hung on to our guns, because it could have been structured that way. I really believe that, and it just got overlooked and forgotten about. But it is what it is. It's done and over with. But if, in fact, if you want to go, or if you look at your schedule, if you want to go, I'd be more than happy to. You and I could drive down there. And,
yeah, we can.
You know, I would go with you. Okay, let's move on to public comment. Anybody from the public? Ronnie, you have anything to say?
No, I just was, what you guys are just saying, like, I've been talking to people, and they've talked about TIFF a lot.
So oh, yeah.
I'm really glad you guys are staying on top of it, looking at it. It's really one of those big issues, like it's like a tip of the iceberg.
Oh yeah, well it's killing us. It's killing us. It's only going to get worse too.
I'm hearing, you know, and so I'm glad you got your.
So is that TIFF meeting at 5 today?
Is there a meeting today?
I think there is.
Is there?
FYI, Joni Albright's going to be at the Old Dane tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Meet and greet 6 to 8.
6 to 8 tomorrow night. Okay.
I think. I don't know if you guys know a lot about Joni or not, but. She's got a lot of background. She was county commissioner at one time. She's served on several different boards. She's very knowledgeable about what goes on, and I think she's really, you know, and I'm not saying that Ardell, but wouldn't, but, you know, Tony's.
Where does she live at?
She lives at Emerson.
In Emerson?
Her husband farms up there.
Okay, there's no public comment. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you.